Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for this chance to be gathered in your house, to lift up our prayers and our praises, to hear from your word, Father. Father, as we are in this season of Lent, as we are remembering what this is all about, and as we are refocusing what you want our lives to be about, help us, Father, to understand more clearly what it means from Scripture, that you remember sins no more. Help us to understand what that means for us, what it doesn't mean for us. Help us to rejoice over all the ways that you make that abundantly clear to us, because we need reminding regularly. We get so distracted and so unhappy. Father, speak to us tonight through your word. That's where we come to hear from you, Father, is through your word. Speak to us tonight through your word, Father. Plant your word deep in our hearts, deep in our minds. Correct our emotions, correct our actions, correct our attitudes, Father. Encourage us, equip us, enable us, and yes, exhort us to go forward from this place to do those good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. Our sermon text for tonight is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. Let me read it for us again. It says, "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The sermon title for this Wednesday in Lent is Remember Sins No More. It's such an important concept, remembering sins no more. But I think one of the most important things for us to understand about this concept is this: it's not your job to forget sin. It's not your job to forget sin. It's God's job. See, there are a lot of Christians who operate under this sort of urban legend, this sort of very common misconception about the Christian faith, and that is that as a Christian, we must forgive and forget. There's just a couple of problems with that. The Bible doesn't say that, not anywhere. The Bible doesn't ever say to you or to I, as a Christian, that we are to forgive and forget. It doesn't say that. It does say you are to forgive. Jesus made that abundantly clear. Peter came to Jesus one day and said, "Rabbi, if I would forgive my brother," who we all know Peter's brother's name was Andrew. Andrew was probably standing 2 feet away from him. Peter said, "You know, if I would forgive my brother 7 times, would that be enough?" And we have to understand the context of the text. See, for a good Jewish person in Jesus' day, you only had to forgive your brother or your wife or whomever 3 times of the same thing. And once you had forgiven them 3 times of the same thing, you were done. You didn't have to forgive them anymore. Good, this is the 4th time you did it. I don't have to forgive you. I can hold my grudge against you. So why does Peter come to Jesus and say, "How about 7 times, Rabbi? Would 7 times be good?" Well, Peter by this time had figured out that Jesus wasn't just any old rabbi. Jesus had pretty high standards. Jesus said, "You know, if you look at a woman lustfully, or if you would think about a man emotionally, you've committed adultery with them in your heart. If you call your brother fool, you're a murderer." So Peter got it, that Jesus had higher standards. And so Peter intentionally took the Jewish law, doubled it, threw it an extra one for good measure. 7 means all sorts of wonderful things in Scripture. Peter's like, this should be good enough. Was it? No, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "No, Peter, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. And that doesn't mean you get to have your little clicker out and keep track of every time you forgive your wife of the same thing and say, oh, good, 489, just one more and I'm done. I don't have to do this anymore. No, that's not Jesus' point. Jesus' point when it comes to forgiving is 70 times 7 is a Jewish way of saying what? Forever. So yes, we are called to forgive, but we are not called to forget. And this is important for us. It's important for us to understand this. Because when somebody sins against us, we're hurt. And when we're hurt, we tend to carry this hurt with us for a long time. And for all sorts of different reasons, we can be going along in life, and it can be a wonderful day, 55 degrees, the sun is out, the birds are chirping, life is great, and then a car passes you by, or something, you see something, or whatever, and your memory is triggered. And you remember this thing that happened in your life 20 years ago, and it still hurts. And so that's why I want you to know that remembering what was done against you, that in and of itself is not a sin. We're not expected to forgive and forget. Forgetting is God's business. But I also have to give you this caution, right? That when your memory is triggered, when your emotions are triggered, you need to take care. Because what we then do with those memories and with those emotions can become sinful if we're not careful. See, some people, I've heard people say this, Pastor, I could never forgive this person because of what they did in my life. And it is a hideous thing that they did. And then they'll go on and they'll say, I could never forgive them because I could never forget it. Brothers and sisters, we're not called to forget it. And so what we have to try and do is to help that sister or brother when they say that to us, we have to try and help them to see that it's not about forgetting. We're just called to forgive. And we can't use that as a reason to not forgive. In fact, that will be part of our discipleship process, that as we remember the hurts that others have caused, that we will turn to Christ for strength to make it through this. See, forgiving is what we're called to do. Forgetting is what God does. And the amazing thing about this idea of remembering our sins no more is this, that God does want us to remember that he remembers our sins no more. I don't know, you know, for you as a parent, if you ever got frustrated, did you ever feel like, how many times have I told my child this? Are they listening? Are they paying attention? Is it sinking in? Now, all children here are excluded. We're talking about theoretical children right now. Have you ever, I think our Father in Heaven has to have that thought at times himself. But fortunately for us, our Father in Heaven knows, he knows that we need to be told and we need to be shown over and over and over again. Because our minds, we have such poor attention spans, theologically and spiritually speaking. We need to be reminded that he remembers our sins no more. And so how does God remind us of this? Well, Jesus, when he gave us the Lord's Supper, he said, this is for the what? The forgiveness. Come on, we're Lutherans. We know the answer to this. Jesus said, this is for the what? For the forgiveness of your sins, right? And so every time we come to the Lord's Supper, we're reminded he remembers our sins no more. In the waters of baptism, our sins are washed away. And we learned in the catechism that we are to remember our baptism daily. Every time you take a shower or a bubble bath or however it is you do that, when that water is washing over you, you have to remember our baptism, that we, our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ. When we began this worship service, we did the same thing we do every time. We started with confession, and then we stopped. Wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't that be just horrible, right? Lord, I am sorry of all of my sins. The end. No words of forgiveness. Wouldn't that be horrible? No. We have confession, and then we have what? We have absolution. We have the words of forgiveness. God reminds us over and over and over again, I remember your sins no more. And it's not just what we do as a church, it's what we do privately when we pray. Scripture says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive them. It's what we see when we look at God's word, and we see God's love, and we are reminded again that he remembers our sins no more. It's what happens when we talk with a brother and sister in Christ who's so powerful in the Lord. On Mondays, I get to go out and visit our homebound. And this past Monday, I got to visit with Marvin and Ellie Veith. Visited with them for over an hour. Learned all kinds of things about pillars in this congregation, about the story of our congregation. And I marvel at the depth of the faith of the people of our congregation. You are blessed to be sitting next to these people because they will remind you, they will uphold you. I've told Millie this, I don't know how many times, that I feel like I walk in Millie's feet. Because today I went and I visited with Ruth McPhail. And who had already been over there? Millie. And then Rick and Jan came by later this afternoon. We are blessed, brothers and sisters, in this congregation by people with a depth of faith. This is how God reminds us that he remembers our sins no more. He does it over and over and over again. I've got a couple scripture passages. I'm just going to read them quick for you. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remember your sins no more. If you're jotting these down, the next one is Hebrews 10:14-18. For by one sacrifice he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Psalm 103, verse 12, says that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the what? The west. That's right. Now, and I want you to think about that. When you start traveling in an easterly direction, when do you get to the west? Really, right? Because you're still going in an easterly direction. It's a very beautiful way of saying it's an immeasurable distance. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the great news is that God's not forgetful. He's not like you and I, right? When you and I, as we get old, we age, we tend to be forgetful. Is that just a guy thing? You know, we tend to be forgetful. God's not forgetful. Let's just clean this up just a little bit, right? God is omniscient. God knows all things, right? The amazing thing about God is, though he knows all things, he chooses to remember our sins, what? No more. That is a blessing, to live in that kind of relationship. And here's the final thought I want to close with. You know, I always start it by saying, you know, reminding us we have a great mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things. What's the first one? Through our preaching. The second one is through our teaching. And the third one is through living our daily lives. That's exactly right. And here's the final thought I want to close with. I want to kind of bring our focus to tonight. And that is this. When you and I get to heaven, we're only going to have one thing that reminds us of Earth. And that one thing that you and I are going to have that reminds us of Earth is a crown. Scripture teaches this. You'll have a crown of glory, and inset in it will be stones representative of the good works that you do. Now, Lutherans, we don't like to talk about this. We're scared to death of this topic because we're afraid it's going to lead to works righteousness, so we avoid it even at the seminary. We just kind of skip over that chapter in our book of doctrine a lot of times. But we do believe it because Scripture teaches it, and we confess it. And here's my point. When you get to heaven, The only thing you're going to have that ties you in any way to this earth, listen to this now, is something good. It's a crown that has stones in it that reminds you of the good that you did. Your mind will not be able to think any about anything bad that you did or that anything bad that happened to you. Because now your mind is going to be conformed to the mind of Christ. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering in heaven. That's what it says in Revelation. So this is what your life in heaven is going to be like. It's what my life in heaven is going to be like. And here's the thing I want to close with. It's also what that person next to you's life is going to be like in heaven. And I think it's important to remember this. Because I think it's tempting, even as lifelong Christians, to look at people to the left of us, to the right of us, maybe even within our own congregation, and to look into to be judgmental. But brothers and sisters in Christ, let's remember something. When that person who you take issue with because of a life decision they made, or because of how they handled a situation, when that believer dies, and when they go to heaven, they're only going to have one thing tying them to this earth, and that's that crown of glory. And in that crown of glory, all that's going to be there, trust me, are going to be stones representative of the good works that God prepared in advance for that person to do. And so here's my final thought. Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is where? In heaven. If that's how we're going to look at each other in heaven, let's start looking at each other like that right now. Let's remember sins no more. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.